It's in season with Sake as it airs now 11:28. I love it when I'm not alone in a studio. Now joining me as it is 11:29 is author, mother, beautiful, gorgeous woman who is also the founder of Kintukuroi Consulting.
She's got it right. Yay, yes. Queen.
It's Liesel Sneeman. Liesel, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Queen?
I'm good.
You're looking so absolutely gorgeous today.
Stop.
Flawlessly beautiful.
Oh, I love it. Love it. You too, though. Thank you so much. How was your Sunday?
It was absolutely blessed. Oh, my goodness. I love it when they celebrate us, moms, queens, the woman that we are, the leaders in our societies with children and culture and everything.
Yes. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
A much anticipated chat and conversation. Yeah. Sure. It's a topic that a lot are affected by and still are. But we are now removing the layers around depression, right? Mm. So depression is a condition that affects many people across religion, cultural and age barriers. The inconvenient reality connected to this condition is that if it is left untreated, it could lead to even more serious actions like self-harm or even suicide. Mm. Liesel, now to help our listeners understand this topic a little bit, and even including myself, how would you define depression?
Thank you, Sake. It is indeed a very serious topic. Mm. And I think the simplest way to describe it is to describe it as a mood disorder. So our mood is either, you know, positive or negative, like in a deep low. And depression is really triggered by feelings of sadness, when you feel helpless or hopeless, you don't know what to do, sometimes even worthlessness, when you feel like I'm not worthy of anything, I cannot do anything. Mm. What it then does, that feeling settles in our mind and in our heart. Mm. The thing is, once it settles, it almost controls everything that we do from that moment if it's not treated. And it is also worth mentioning, my dear Sister Queen, that depression or the triggers of depression can sometimes be caused by either a present event, you know, something that happens now. You're saddened by something that happened now. Somebody said something. Or at times it is by the memory of something that happened in the past.
Ooh.
And the fear of the same thing happening now literally cripples your mind, and then again it settles. So I think it's important to maybe mention to everybody listening here that sometimes depression manifests either like externally, when I say it's externally, when there's evidence of something in your life, like you're losing a job, or you lose a family member, or your situation, your status changes, even becoming a parent.
Sure.
That's a reality.
Yeah.
Becoming a parent, and then now all of a sudden your whole life is changing and you weren't ready for it. That is a trigger for depression. And the reason why specifically mentioning the parenting part is oftentimes it's almost like, but how, you a mom, how can you?
Yeah.
But the reality is there's something that is taken away from us, and now we're sitting with a person that we are responsible for.
Sure.
It can either come in the form of something that is not visible, and when it's not visible, it is maybe, you know, when you're brooding over a certain experience. And when I say brooding over experiences, maybe failed relationship, or the fact that your relationship is going to some pressure points right now, or lack of finances, or not knowing whether you're going to have enough finances.
Sure.
These are all emotions that come and settles in our mind, and it can either leave us hopeless, helpless, it leaves us unsettled, you worry, it puts us in a state of anxiety. But I think it's important to mention to everyone listening here that we have different susceptibility levels,
okay?
And it is by, and those susceptibility levels is impacted by your upbringing, important, how your parents dealt with you and how they trained you, but also what you experienced. So I learned over the years that if you in your lifetime before experienced certain difficulties and you are still here today, you become more susceptible, meaning you then deal better with these triggers trigger for depressions now than what you would have in the past.
In the past.
I'm a perfect example of that.
Sure.
So I'm hoping I made sense of it. I didn't want to give too little, but I wanted our listeners to understand what depression really is.
Yeah, sure. Now, your response, you know, and this is true, you know, it reminded me of a time when I was myself, was in a state of darkness, low mood. I remember I shared my testimony on Breakfast with Friends. You know, there was a time in a year when I just couldn't go to school anymore because I was triggered by a particular event that happened, you know, a previous year ago. But please share how depression manifests itself and what are some of the signs that may be used as indicators that you're dealing with depression.
So, I honestly respect the fact that you're mentioning that you were once, you once found yourself in a similar place where, you know, where you were caught up in depression. Yeah. Similarly, I can speak of an experience, and I think my reference now will be my own experience, and by no means should our listeners take it as a diagnosis, but it should give them an idea of maybe this is worth pursuing to see whether I am borderlining or bordering depression or signs of depression. So for me, use it as a guide. It's very important. The very first thing, and I want you to make notes or sit and take it in. But the first thing that you need to take note of, once you have that constant state of tiredness, you would go to work, you do everything that you're needing to do, you would respond, but you don't really participate. You are just merely existing. Constant state of tiredness is one indicator. Another indicator is you're emotionally triggered. You either crying all the time or you become so numb that you don't really want to feel anything of anyone because you already at maximum capacity.
Sure.
Another trigger is, or a sign of depression is insomnia. You either...
Really?
Insomnia, yes. You sleep. You can't sleep because the mind, the triggers, the emotional triggers are just not switching off. Insomnia and your sleeping pattern that is erratic is an important sign to look out for. A constant anxiety over not knowing. When you don't know, you're worried about being able to do anything, or you're sad over the fact that there's a thing, you have a feeling that you are alone in it, or there's no support, you don't have anybody to confide in.
Yeah.
So there's a constant state of anxiety. That anxiety when you know, when I need to say it in Afrikaans, when you mag draait, you feel like you just, what is happening in your life? Weight loss or weight gain without any reason.
Okay.
It's another sign to look out for. Some people, when they stress, they eat more. Some stop eating. Feelings of you don't want to live anymore. I remember when I went through when I went through some of the darkest times in my life, and it was literally, I was on antidepressants, it was alcohol, anything to forget the thoughts that was happening in my mind. I would smoke nonstop just to, anything to forget. And then I would wake or go to sleep at night or try, and I would pray that the sun don't come up in the morning.
Sure.
And then it did. And then I was in a lower state of depression. Those are real signs.
Mm.
And if you don't feel like you want to live anymore, that should be a clear indicator that you need to speak to somebody.
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned, I've been there before, and it's really, it's awakening my mind that, you know, at that time, even if I didn't know, I was just in the pits of depression.
Correct, correct. And I believe, look, we're mentioning these, signs to look out for as to indicate maybe they are cause for you to seek either help or speak to somebody.
Mm.
And if you, with anything that I've mentioned now, any of our listeners, maybe ticked off or identified five or more signs that you are currently experiencing in your life, please reach out to somebody. Contact myself or speak to a professional, somebody that can assist and help you through whatever it is that you need to free yourself from.
Sure. Now, can you take us through some of the emotional stresses that feed depression?
Hmm. As I mentioned, I think parenting is an important part. And I want to touch on that quickly. Over the weekend, I was chatting to a beautiful queen and I was mentioning about how I'm always admiring her status updates and the TikToks of her and her boy.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what, Liesl? Nobody knows what happened before that video.
Sure.
Nobody knows the fits of screams and anger and frustration that I felt the moments before. And as she was saying that, the following came to mind. But in the mind of a son, he's going to remember the moment that his mom took to dance with him. Now, depression skews our perspective. We focus on that thing that we're doing in the heat of a low moment. But in our fighting, she was fighting actually the fact that she's doing all these TikToks with her boy. It is a way of coping.
Yeah. Sure.
So parenting, definitely a relationship failure, as I mentioned, death, even pregnancy can be a trigger for depression.
Okay. How so? Interesting.
Hormonal. It's all about hormones.
Right.
So your hormones are triggers. It puts you in either a high or a low, and that fluctuating hormones leave you displaced. And once you feel displaced and nobody can make sense of it or nobody guides you through that process, you can either become stuck in that low or not understanding where these other emotions are coming from.
Sure. Now, as Christians, how do we
Do we want to go there?
We have to go there. We have got to go there. How do we as Christians then deal with depression?
Sure. I think to answer, I want to debunk some of the myths and what we should not be doing as Christians. So we should not tell whoever confide in us that they need to get their relationship right with God because depression is an indicator that you are spiritually unhealthy.
Sure,
don't do it. Munati duni. You know, when we hear things that, oh, maybe you are falach or you have displeased God, it immediately triggers the person in not a positive way.
Yeah.
So that myth needs to be debunked. For me, I think coming back, because I need to bring a scriptural reference to this. While the Bible does not explicitly speaks about depression, we only need to look at the life of David. How many times does David not speak of the time that his heart and his mind is failing him and it fails him because of the things that was happening in his life? He was going through a depressive state because he was burdened by what was happening in his life, and he seek the counsel of the God who created him, who understands completely what is happening what is happening in his life. Similarly, if you look at the life of King Saul was so lowly depressed that he used to burst out in fits of anger and rage, and that he needed David to come and play on the harp so that he can feel a little bit better. So music is a good way to kind of cope in the moment of depression. I'm talking about worship, not just music. Let me be specific there. And then I think maybe another important fact to mention for us as Christians, if you look at the scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, I think, where Paul speaks about the thorn in the flesh. Okay. So whilst he was maybe speaking of an ailment that was a physical ailment, but the ailment was causing him much pain. He was in distress. It was a trigger of pain. You didn't know how to deal with it. And then he asked the Lord, can you please take this away from me? And what did the Lord respond? The Lord responded that my power was able to shine more brightly in your weakness.
Sure. Oh, praise
Jesus. We are standing here. Shaki, I mean, you spoke about briefly, now spoke about that you experienced something in your past. I listened to your testimony that we are here because we experienced and lived through certain depressive moments in our past. And the Lord is glorified by what we have lived through, not because of our own strengths and of our own abilities, but because He gave us wisdom to cope through that. Now, there's a spiritual support, but there's also practical support that is needed. So whilst prayer is very important, prayer and spiritual support in the fight against the spirit, because it is a spirit, the spirit that wants to bring your joy. It wants to take your joy away from you. It wants to rob you from hope. It wants to rob you from all the possibilities that God has given for you. So it's a spiritual warfare. There's also practical steps that we need to apply. And the practical steps is important to mention that, yes, you have seek the counsel for prayer and guidance, but maybe that antidepressant that you're taking is necessary to balance your hormones as a bridge to get to a point where you wean yourself off it.
Yes.
Taking antidepressants doesn't make you less spiritual.
Yeah.
Seeking a counselor or speaking to a psychologist doesn't mean that you don't trust the Lord. You're applying practical steps.
Yes.
Practical steps with prayer, applying your faith, knowing that God is fighting battles for you that you don't even see in the spiritual realm, but you go and seek that counsel, seek the help so that you can practically loosen yourself from the spirit that wants to steal your joy from you.
Sure, I love it. It just reminded me of a scripture now that says, faith without works is dead.
Come on now.
It's definitely that.
Exactly.
Sure.
Totally.
Wow. So now practically, where can our listeners get help?
Practically, I like that. Practically, where can our listeners get help? So there are many professionals out there, and I want to speak specifically to the professionals, because these are people who studied in the line of depression. So I'm talking about your counselors, psychologists, even psychotherapy. However, if you know of a life coach, I am a life coach, there are specific life coaches that are equipped to support individuals with depression, especially, you know, people like myself who specializes in what we call the growth mindset approach. Growth mindset is that if you just look at your circumstances with a new perspective, you will see that what you have gained with everything that you have lived through and not be burdened by the heaviness of the current reality that is still there.
Sure.
The fact that you are still alive mean that God has already equipped you with certain skills, certain traits that you can use in your current situation whilst it looks the way it does. And by virtue of the application of the skills that the Lord has already given to you, you were born with it. This event, this depression, this depressive state, this trigger literally just came into your life. Do you know what? To amplify, to heighten, to bring out that thing that was dormant in your life.
Sure.
And the growth mindset conversation that coaches have is kind of linked to that, that you have everything that you need to make it through it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Do we have some people that responded?
Natasha!
My sister queen!
She's saying, hi, lovely ladies. Thank you for this much needed conversation this morning. Too often we're ignorant of these signs or triggers and try to wing it, you know? Because it's so much easier to do so than dealing with it, particularly as single parents.
Can we just say that again? Single parenthood. It's difficult. And I mean, Sake, you can also relate to that. I was a single parent in my life as well at a point in my life. So it's a clump.
Yeah, it is.
And it's overwhelming.
It is. And she continued this saying, blessed day to you both and sending so much love to the beautiful CCFM.
Oh, we love it too, Queen.
Sure. And, you know, being a single parent can really be overwhelming. And at times there are, do you think that's why a lot of infants are, not thrown away, I'm just trying, failing to find the right word, that are abandoned?
Abandoned. Parents are not ready when the mother is not ready for that responsibility. So obviously there's lots of other factors that contributes to abandonment. Yeah. Also, we need to mention that. But in the case, if you are emotionally not in a good place, where is our prayer warriors? But also, I have been there. I have been there. I understand where you're at. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
You will make it through it. I have made it through. Not a case of you are finding yourself in a bed. Snap out of it. That's the last thing we want to do. A little empathy in the moment of, because for the mother, for the person that is confiding in you, the weight of that trigger, of the pressure, of the depression is real. because of what we have lived through, we cannot understate the weight of what that person is going through.
Yes, true. Narissa is saying, good day. Who is the speaker on depression, please? Well, it is
Narissa.
She's an amazing author and also a fan of Kintsugoroi Consulting. And she's one of the people that you can contact, you know, if you identify to or with depression. If you know of anyone that you would like for them to link up with. Liesl, Rachel Page is saying, mind-blowing. Thanks, Liesl. I would encourage everyone to read Liesl's book. I have it. It is life-changing. Oh, yes, it is. It really, really is. Liesl, before I let you go, do you have any, you know, final words to say, like some sort of conclusion to wrap everything up?
Okay, so if you are listening today and you're really struggling with your emotions and just with where you're finding yourself in life currently, I want to remind you of the facts that you may be not seeing where you are at now. You have made it to this moment because there's still life in you. The thing is that sometimes life that we have inside of us becomes blurred by the weight of the gray skies and the heaviness and the feelings of that nothing will ever change. But you are still alive. And because you are alive, there's hope.
Yeah.
And our hope is rooted in God, our Savior, who has all the answers. I do not have the answers that God has. But I know that if it wasn't for Him in the time when I wanted to take my life, it was a moment where I just found peace in the midst of everything that I was going through. I was still going through a second divorce that was very public. It was very shameful. Everybody spoke about it. But yet I felt comforted knowing that there was one person that didn't look down on me with disgust. I'm going to say that word, with disgust. That didn't think that I was worthless. And that changed it for me.
Yes.
And because that changed it for me, it gave me hope. So whilst the feelings were still there, I then realized, wait a minute, the minute I feel that heaviness, I'm going to go and cry at the Master's feet, on my knees, listen to worship, listen to a scripture, go to His word. That was the desperation that I had. So I know depression makes us desperate, right?
Yeah. And desperate for a way out, even if it's self-harm.
Desperate, yes. Oh. And now my word is to everyone, self-harm, in the desperation, let that not be the first choice.
Sure.
Let your first choice be going to our Master. And then also remembering to do all the practical other steps to your path of healing.
Yeah, sure. You have really, really blessed me. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. And to anyone who is listening, would like to get a hold of you, where can they contact you?
So they can contact me. I love giving out my cell phone. My friends always say, Liesl, your cell phone is all over the place. But it's my business phone number. So you can contact me on 083-226-8992 and it's 083-226-8992, or you can email me at liesl@kintsukuroiconsulting.com.
Liesl, thank you so much. All you're really amazing. When is our next chat? The next month?
In 2 weeks' time, yes. Every fortnight. Rowan, please.
We beg all. Liesl, thank you so much. And I hope that you're going to have an amazing day. You touched many people. I believe you've changed their you've shifted their perspective, I believe. And, you know, and bless them with great amounts of information with regards to this matter, this topic at hand, depression, which many are suffering from, which, as you mentioned, are all desperately trying to find a way out. But as you mentioned, self-harm should not be the first option.
It should never be an option. Yeah. Have a conversation with somebody. I mean, I gave my number for a reason. I've learned over the years that conversations, speaking about that stuff that you were too scared to mention, because people might just look at you like, what? Really? A mom? As a mom, you feel like, mothers feels an immense amount of pressure because of this person.
True.
It's like it's life that is in your hands. You're accountable for it.
Yes.
And then you still need to work.
Yeah.
And you still need to provide.
Mm. And you still need to smile.
And you still need to smile.
Sure. Oh, but the grace of the Lord is sufficient, and we thank Him for have created people like you, life coaches, so that you can take our hands in this journey of healing and seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you so much, Liesl.
Amen. All glory be to God.
Thank you, Gwen. So